like death in the mist. There was only one thing to be done. So I did it. Drawing up my free leg and driving my foot down with all my force at Ulubu's face, staring up at me open-mouthed, half-submerged as he clung to my other knee. I missed, but caught her full on the shoulder, jarring her grip free. And away she went, canoe and all, the gunwale rasping against my legs as it whirled downstream. One glimpse I had of the white water foaming over those long, beautiful legs, and then she was gone. Damnable altogether. Cruel waste of good womanhood. But what would you? Better one should go than two, and greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down someone else's life for his own. With that dead weight gone, I could just keep my grip, and with a mighty heave hauled myself into the thicket, catching a stouter branch and getting a leg over it. And suddenly there was an appalling crack. The branch gave way, and down I went, entangled in a mesh of leaves and withies, under the surface, helpless in the grip of the current which swept me away. I came up, half-drowned, into the fury of the rapids, buffeted against rocks and snags, tossed like a cork this way and that, and clutching blindly for a hold that wasn't there, unable even to holler, with my mouth and throat full of choking water. A massive black shape surged up before me, one of the great boulders worn smooth by the centuries, and even as I was flung against it with shattering force, hanging spread-eagled half out of the water, I saw beyond it a sight which has since provided me with much food for thought. Not 2 yards away, the canoe was caught fast beneath the overhanging foliage of another of those islands, and climbing clear of the wreck was Ulubu Walk. She had hold of a stout vine, swinging herself like a gymnast to a clear patch of solid ground, and given a moment of her quiet reflection, I might have concluded that if I had not been an unutterable swine and selfish hound in kicking her loose, I'd like as not have been safe beside her, gasping, "Will you have nuts or a cigar, ma'am?" As it was, I was slowly slipping from the boulder. Its surface was like a frozen pond. My hands could get no grip as I flailed them on the stone, squealing like Billy be damned. And while Ulubu could not have heard me, she absolutely saw me for a split second before I slid from her view into the torrent, inhaling a bellyful of the Blue Nile as I continued my progress downstream, presently descending 150 feet without benefit of canal locks. Falling down one of the highest waterfalls on earth, so far as I know, only the Victoria Falls are appreciably higher, is not like toppling from the lofty side of a ship, which I've done, or from any other dry height. I say dry because being engulfed in water, which is undoubtedly drowning you, quite takes away the sensation of falling. And there's no shock of entering the water at the end of your enforced dive. You arrive cocooned in the stuff and are borne into the depths in a state of complete confusion. You can see nothing but blinding light and hear nothing but continuous thunder. You can't tell which is up and which is down, and only at the uttermost limit of your plunge does some inkling of your situation enter your consciousness as you begin to rise again. Even then you're entirely helpless, for your limbs are paralysed by the sheer battering shock, as is your will. I've known what it is to drown on several occasions, most memorably in the Skrang River with a blowpipe dart in my ribs, and upside down in that infernal drain beneath Jotunberg Castle, and at the bottom of a bath in the amorous clutches of the demented Queen of Madagascar. But only in the maelstrom under the Blue Nile Falls was I unable even to struggle feebly, as I drifted upwards through that silvery radiance, the agony of suffocation gradually changing to a dreamy languor. And then my head must have broken surface, for I was gasping great painful gulps of air, retching and trying to scream as I felt the undertow drag at my legs, sucking me under again, and reason returned to tell me that to give up now, or faint away, or allow the torpor to enfold me again, was to die. Whether my pathetic attempt to swim, or some freak of the current, or just a plain miracle took me clear, I can't tell. For all I remember is an engulfing white mist, and after a while gravel under my knees and body, and crawling onto wet rock and lying exhausted in pouring rain. In fact, it was the spray thrown up by millions of tons of water pouring over that colossal natural weir into the enormous lagoon at its foot. I managed to roll over on my back and stare up through a glittering